The Neutral.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of The Neutral. I'm your host, Amanda Stevens, and this week we have a really great guest. We have we have JB. You guys may have seen him on E-League The Challenger, you might have seen him in the E-League Invitational Season 2, and you probably are watching him on the Street Fighter League this year. So I'm gonna get him up on the call, and we're gonna get right into the action today. So let's see if we can get our lucky guest in. Oh, we've got him. What's good?
Hey.
All right.
How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, haven't been feeling well this weekend, so hopefully I'll keep the energy up. All right.
Got it.
So, you know, You came from New York, where you've got, you know, such great names like Smug, Yipes, and then, you know, you're out on the West Coast with names like Stupendous, Dankadillus, Commander Jesse, and then you settled on the name JB.
Yep.
Why such a just like standard stock name?
Watching fighting games, like most of like my idols in fighting games were people who just use their regular names, you know, people like Chris G, like Justin Wong, you know, like people like that. I just thought that it'd be more mature and just cooler to just have something really simple, something that is like your name. So my first name was actually John B, and for some reason Art said calling me JB for I don't know why, but it kind of stuck, and then everyone else was calling me JB, you know. So but yeah, the overall point is just that I wanted a very simple name. I didn't want anything that was too crazy, you know, like some people have names that are way too crazy or too funny. And you know, as we get older, you know, we are trying to do this as a career, right? So as we get older, these names just get sillier and sillier, you know. So yeah, I just wanted something simple.
I mean, but like, but I've also heard that you were close to just doing your full initials, which would make your name Jab.
Oh yeah. So my initials are JAB, and I think Jab would be like such a perfect name. But I mean, no one would know that those are my initials. People are just gonna think that my name is Jab. You know, they're just going to think I just chose Jab because of fighting games, you know, and then it wouldn't have been very original. So, I don't know. I think JB is better.
All right.
I'm glad I stuck with JB.
Okay. So, you know, I've talked to you a bit outside of the show, and I hear that you're really into first-person shooters, which is something that Shine brought up last week that he also played a lot of. I believe it was Gears. And
oh, okay.
I know that you play COD, right? Like, you...
I'm not specifically into just first-person shooters in general. I think I'm just into shooters, like, as a whole. So third-person or first-person doesn't really matter. I'm just in a competition, and I feel like shooters was the first thing that got me into competition because, you know, they were, like, one of the first games where you can just go online and compete against other people. You know, shooters were the ones who allowed you to do that in console before anything else, basically. So, yeah, I started playing Call of Duty, and then I transitioned to Gears, and Gears was such a very hard game. So that game taught me how to basically know how to practice and commit to just training, you know? So I think that shooters taught me a lot when it comes to fighting games, but shooters are definitely like the first thing that I ever did when it comes to gaming. So, yeah.
Okay. And then how did we get from, you know, being super into Gears and, like, competing at that level and playing Street Fighter?
I think it has to do with my local scene that was back in New York, which is NOBC.
Mm-hmm.
I kept hearing about it so much, and everyone was talking about it. I was never really into fighting games, you know, but when I heard that Cross Tekken, you know, Street Fighter Cross Tekken was coming out, like, who doesn't know what Tekken is and who doesn't know what Street Fighter is? So when I heard that both of those are, you know, like coming together, I had to try the game, you know, because even if I never played fighting games, I know who Ryu is, I know who Akuma was, you know, I knew who Jin and Kazuya and Heihachi was, were. So basically, Street Fighter Cross Tekken is what got me into fighting games. And then I heard about the local scene, which was, you know, it was increasing in popularity so much, like so many people were talking about it and watching it. So, you know, I started watching tournaments here and there for Street Fighter 4, because Street Fighter Cross Tekken, you know, it was popular at the beginning, but not so much, not too much, you know. So I went to NOBC, and then I just fell in love with just competing there and wanting to get better. You know, I got bodied in like the first couple of tournaments, but eventually I started practicing and watching videos, and I realized that I had a talent for fighting games. So I kind of stuck to it.
All right. So like all right, so I guess the first way we'll start with this is like in Street Fighter 4, who did you like main? Who was like your go-to character?
Well, in Street Fighter 4, I Cross Tekken was actually my like first fighting game. I didn't really play Street Fighter 4, but when I kind of, cuz I bought it, but I kind of liked Rufus. So, he was like the only character that I played in Street Fighter 4.
All right,
and I mean, I played Rufus in Cross Tekken, so
so it works. Yeah. It worked out. So then, yeah, and now over in Street Fighter V, you're known for your Rashid, almost to a fault, like, because you know when it got banned at E-League the Challenger, and when it got banned at the Street Fighter League, some not so good things happened.
But yeah,
but like, what attracted you to a character like Rashid?
Well, I'm not really sure. So I tried out a lot of characters at the beginning of Street Fighter V. I really like Shoto's. You know, I like characters that throw fireballs. They're the funnest to watch, you know, because it's just their strategy is so basic, but it's so effective. You know, like characters like Ryu, it's just, you know, you throw fireballs, you zone your opponent, and then you just basically, when they become too desperate, you punish them for it. Which is, you know, like if they start jumping in, you anti-air them and things like that. So I really like Shoto. So I tried to pick Nash in the beginning. You know, I'm not sure if he's really considered a Shoto, but he is like a fireball character, which can also pressure you like really, really well when he gets close to you. So I knew I wanted a character that had good offense, and I also wanted a character that had good mobility and basically was able to just keep an opponent away. You know, I think Nash was such a chunky or clunky character that I wanted someone who was faster and felt more free to use, you know, especially with the awful input delay that Street Fighter V had at the beginning. So I realized that Rashid's V-reversal was actually just like Nash's, you know, which basically let him get away. You couldn't punish it. It didn't have a hitbox in Season 1. And then I also saw that Rashid was like an offensive monster when he once I tried Rashid out and I saw how offensive he was, and then he can also just get out the corner really easy with his V reversal, I kind of fell in love with Rashid.
Okay. You know, I brought up E-League the Challenger, and from what I understand from talking to like Sherry and Rob TV and listening to a lot of people who were on it, you know, there was sort of an open casting call, and then you applied for it. And then they got back to you and, you know, you had like an interview. But what at the time made you think like, oh, I can get on this easy?
Actually, when it comes to E-League the Challenger, I don't think I applied for that, if I remember correctly. I think I actually received an email from them and asking me if I wanted to apply. I think that's what it was. So I didn't directly apply. They sent me an email saying that they were interested, and they told me to apply for it or basically have an interview with them. So I had a video interview, kind of like, you know, like what we're doing now. And I think that's what got me on the show. But the fact that they were interested in me is obviously what made me think that I could get on it. You know, I was like, NOBC gave me such a great chance at being on the show, because I feel like the other people who were in it were way more popular than I was and had more of a following and, you know, just more of a presence on social media and everything else than I did. But I think it's because of Next Level Battle Circuit and basically the platform that it gave me is what made me be able to get on E-League, the challenger. Yeah, it's because of me perform me well at NLBC.
Okay, so when you like you knew it was gonna be like part reality show and not just straight up competing against people, you're sort of known as a more reserved person, right? Like you're not a person that really like shoots off their mouth too much or anything. Were you worried about like kind of being the like being not like the hypest person? Like you had like people like Low Tier God on and like Guilty and like Rob TV, people who have like these really big personalities, and then there's you.
I wasn't worried at all. I mean, when it comes to a competition, I always think about the game first before anything else. You know, I know there are a lot of people who are trying to force personalities, and there are a lot of people who think that you need to be a personality in order to succeed. You know, that's not my way of thinking. And even if I'm wrong, you know, I don't want to be right. You know, like I don't want to succeed by only being a personality. You know, like I want to worry about the game first because competition is what I love the most. So I wasn't really worried about it. I just told myself I was going to go in there and I was going to compete, which is what I was there to do. And, you know, let everything else basically just, I would just go with the flow basically.
Okay. And so I've heard, so I remember when I was watching the Born Free interview that you did last year when I was preparing to talk to you today, you had brought up that like you felt very confident in your matchups of the people that were in the house. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like, of the people that were there, how many of them had you had, like, a lot of first-hand experience against, though? Or were you just basing this more on, like, character matchup?
Oh, what do you mean by first-hand experience? Like, people who I've actually fought before?
Yeah, like, how many people, like, was game? Everybody at the house people you had already, like, played a decent amount against? Or were you just kind of like, I know this person plays this, and I know this person plays that, so I think I'm pretty set?
No, the only person that I actually played from the house was Commander Jesse, and at the time not really much because I had just moved to California, so that was like maybe I had like about maybe like 1 month of experience playing against him from going to Wednesday night fights. And that's about it. I was just really confident with Dawson because of, you know, in Next Level Battle Circuit we had Art, and at the time Art was like the best Dawson in the world, so he taught all of us the matchup really well. So I was really confident against Commander Jesse because he played Dawson. The only person I was pretty worried about was Rob TV, and that's because he played Gao. And at the time, that was hands down Rashid's worst matchup. And it was really difficult. And, you know, he was the only person I was, like, basically worried about. Everyone else I knew I had a good matchup with. And I was just confident against them in general.
All right. What was your favorite moment of being on the Challenger? Like, was there anything that, like, happened at the house that you were like, oh, man, that's, like, a fond memory?
Oh man, that's that's so difficult because literally every day that we were there was such a memorable time. I mean, we went to so many places, we did so many things. The house challenges were such an experience. You know, like when they made us do a time trial by looking at a mirror. You know that yeah. I mean, pretty much part of it. We got to live our lives with other people because it's not like they forced us to do anything. They just gave us a house. They gave us a roof, a couple of stations to play in. We had a gym there. We had a kitchen. You know, it was like we were living with roommates basically who were also gamers. And I mean, the whole experience was just, it was just amazing. And I don't really know how to describe it, but if I had to choose like the most memorable moment, I think it would be every single time that I was in the elimination room. So, you know, they had like this little chamber where a player would get eliminated, whether I was playing or I wasn't. It was just such, like, you can feel the intensity in everyone just by being there. Everyone was so nervous, you know, especially the people who were playing because they had a chance to go to E-League, and E-League, you know, it has the big bucks. So,
yeah,
you know, it was basically like we were witnessing people's dreams come true or their dreams being shattered, you know? So it was so intense, and I love things like that, you know? I love it when I have an adrenaline rush and my heart is racing, and you know, like, you don't know what's coming next. So I think that was my most favorable moment. Just basically every single time that we were in that chamber, which was, I mean, every day, because someone got eliminated every day. So, yeah.
All right. And then you got to be on E-League with a lot of really big names. I know from talking to some people that, like, they either want to, like, rise to the challenge, right? Like, they're just like, oh, man, you know, I don't care that this person is this person, right? But did you go in with any sort of, like, knowledge, like, I think I can crush this. Like, I think I can win E-League. Or are you just like, I just want to do my best?
Well, I'm as confident. So what happens is that I'm a person who practices a lot, you know, and what happens when you practice a lot is that it gives you this confidence in your gameplay that people who don't really practice don't have. And I think that's because, you know, you trained for that and you know that you're playing to the best of your ability. So if anything goes wrong, it was out of your control. So what's the point of being nervous, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's basically my secret to always being confident. It's that I make sure that whenever I go into something, I'm prepared. So, I mean, I knew there were world-class players, and I knew that there were some things that I couldn't prepare for. Like, for example, people who had Rashid matchup knowledge, you know, like, there's nothing I can do about that, you know, especially the Japanese players who have so many Rashids. So against them, I wasn't as confident, but I was still pretty confident, you know. It's just because I trained for them, and I watched so many matches, and I practiced so much before E-League that I was confident. It didn't matter who was there, you know. I want to be there someday. So in order to get there, I have to prepare myself. So yeah.
Okay, and you know, you brought this up a lot just now about training. You know, every player has a different way of training. Like, I know when I've talked to FChamp, he says that, like, he starts his day playing StarCraft so that he puts his brain on a different axis from fighting games before he gets into doing any fighting game work. What is your sort of, like, training regimen or, like, practice sessions look like?
Basically, my training is that I watch matches during my free time. And whenever I see something that confuses me or something that I didn't know existed or, you know, you can do in a specific matchup, I go to training mode and I try to find something that Rashid can do about it, you know? So when you watch matches, it's kind of like the secret. It's kind of like a shortcut. You know how they say there aren't any shortcuts, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that watching matches is kind of like the shortcut because it's so effortless and people will figure things out for you, you know, especially if you watch top players. You know, like, I only watch top players. I don't really watch, like, ranked matches or anything like that, including if it's, like, top players. I watch tournaments, you know, high-level tournaments where it's, like, top 16, top 8. And basically, I watch matches. I let other players find things for me, you know, and then I find an answer that Rashid has for that specific scenario. But I make sure that I don't only watch and play Street Fighter. I feel like that's not... It's not very productive, you know, because what's going to happen is that you're going to get tired of playing a game and watching a game, and it's going to feel more of like a job or more of like a chore instead of, you know, just having fun and training because you want to get better. So what I do is that I make sure that I have other things to play, you know. So one thing that I'm playing the most right now is Apex, and Apex is something that I you know, I don't train or anything in that. I just hop on the game and I play. And I think that to have other of, you know, just Street Fighter or your job, you know, it's very important. So that's basically what I do. You know, I make sure I have something on the side, something that I play a lot, you know, like right now, like I said, I was playing Apex. And then when I want to train or when I feel like it, I just watch some matches and then I go to training mode and then practice those things. And then the final step is to, you know, invite a friend or something like that who picks that character that you're trying to figure something out for it and just apply what you practiced. And that's basically it.
Okay. So, you know, you're playing some Apex Legends right now. And one of the things that comes up a lot when we talk is that you value taking the time outside of your job, which is currently Street Fighter, to, like, do other things, to, like, have a life outside of Street Fighter. So, like, right now, what is your jam outside of fighting games? Outside of video games in general? Like, what is the non-video game side of JB right now?
Well, honestly, I don't think there really is one. yeah, I've been playing video games for so long in my life, you know, to the point where, you know, at some point I was, like, really antisocial. And I was living in New York, you know, NOBC kind of saved me from that. because it's a place where I got to socialize and meet new people and learn how to make new friends. But I mean, video games have been a part of my life forever, and you know, I kind of like it that way. I'm not a person who likes to go out and go to parties and, you know, do, I don't know, like do what things that adolescents and young adults do, you know. I am the happiest when I'm playing video games and just chatting with friends while playing the video games also. So you know, that's it. I think that's actually my entire life. It's just waking up, you know, playing video games, and I don't know. I mean, I watch like anime sometimes. I watch movies here and there. You know, I go out with my girlfriend, of course, Chelsea. But that's about it.
I mean, I hope you watch anime because I think by now enough people have told you you look like Spike Spiegel. And I'm
Who?
sorry.
Oh, is that the guy from Cowboy Bebop?
Have you not watched Cowboy Bebop?
No, I've never seen it.
I think this interview has to be over now. Because the last time I saw Chelsea, I was like, you know, your boyfriend kind of looks like Spike Spiegel. Has anyone ever told him that? And she was like, I think someone has. And I was like, that's the cosplay opportunity right there. Like, so low key, so easy.
I don't think anyone has ever told me, and if they did, maybe I didn't understand who the hell Spike was. But I have gotten a Joker from Persona 5 a couple of
Ooh,
times.
that's a pretty good one too. All right.
But that's basically it.
Okay. But I also hear you're into fashion. So like that means that you have to eventually leave the video games behind. I'm tripping over my words, but like how did you get into that? Because as an antisocial person, because like I know I was also antisocial in high school, so I wasn't really into a lot of like trends. I just like found this stuff that like I'm gonna sound like a little bit like a weeb, but like whatever my mom picked out for me is like what I would just like wear. So like what made you like get into fashion?
I mean, I'm not too big on fashion, you know, like to the point where I go out of my way to make sure, you know, I look fashionable for a day or something like that. What it is that I'm from New York, of course, and everyone there is just they always worry about how they look, you know, what they're wearing on their feet, especially what they're wearing on their feet. You know, New York is all about sneakers. You can wear the dumbest outfit, you know, but if you have good sneakers, for some reason people will give you props. I don't know, but maybe that's what it is. You know, like I never liked that idea because people would always compliment your sneakers and then you can look like a bum. And if you have good sneakers, people would still like the way you're dressed, you know. And I kind of hated that. You know, I feel like part of looking good is, you know, your whole outfit. And basically, so when I moved to California, you know, I made sure that I focused more on my fashion so I didn't look like that, because people out here do care more about their fashion than what they're just wearing on their feet, you know? So they care more about everything, you know, like the whole outfit in general. So maybe that's what it is now. I want to not just have good sneakers, you know, what my clothes are, you know, and I look fine, you know, you're not going to be young forever, so I like to focus on my looks a little more, you know, sometimes than other people, but yeah.
All right. Now, you know, you made that move from New York to California. What would you say is like, do you think, I've always wondered about this, do you think that there's like a different fighting style between like the way California FGC plays versus like the way NOBC plays?
No, I don't think so. But I definitely think that there's a difference with how the players train. Or so I noticed that when I came out to California, like players have individual groups of friends, you know. Like there's like a group of four here, a group of four there, and a group of four there, and they don't train with each other, you know. At when I was in the East Coast, the entirety of our local was a one big family, you know, where we all trained with each other. And I didn't really get that vibe over here, you know. So that would be the only difference. But in terms of the way they play, I think that everyone in America plays the same, and we all play like nuts, you know. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Maybe that's why you know, people like watching the Asian players more, because they're way more creative with the way they play. And I mean, there are some exceptions, of course. You know, like you have like Justin Wong, who his gameplay, you can tell just, you know, that it's him. Even if you don't see the name, you'll know that it's him, right? People like Punk, people like Snake Eyes, I think, has a very unique play style. You know, Chris T. There are so many, you know, so if I don't name some, you know, don't get offended. But there are a lot of U.S. players that do have their personality, but I think, like, in general, most of the population in the U.S., you know, and there are so many of us, but most of, like, the mid to high level players all play, like, very similar, you know? They all play, like, very nutty characters, and they don't really want to have their own... I don't know. Or maybe that is their personality. Maybe they want to be more aggressive, you know, but I just think that's how the American players play.
Okay.
In general, yeah.
All right. So, you know, we haven't touched on it yet, and it, you know, the you know, you've got it coming up on Thursday, but you're in the Street Fighter League on your team. And last week they finally decided that it was time to ban Rashid. and not let you run amok being a living fidget spinner. So like when you heard, because I you knew that there were going to be bans coming into this, mm-hmm. how worried were you that you were going to be someone like IDOM who just gets like permanently targeted out?
Well, I was worried before I got picked for the team that I'm in now. Mm-hmm. Because if I got picked on a team that has all character specialists, then, you know, obviously there will be a time where I'm going to get banned. But as soon as Punk chose me, I didn't care if I ever got banned. I mean, because if you let his Karen, you know, free, there is no way. I don't think that team has a possibility of winning, you know, if he's able to pick Karen. Because he is so high up, you know, in the skill gap. Or in skill level, that mm-hmm. if you let his Karen go, I don't see how we're going to lose. You know, like, it sucks to have to... It does suck to have to rely on him to win the match. But in the end, it is a team tournament, you know? And if there's nothing I can do about it, then there's nothing I can do about it if they ban Rashid. So as soon as Punk chose me, I wasn't afraid at all. I was really confident that... No matter who they banned, you know, because I'm confident in myself and I play Rashid. And Rashid is such a good character this season. You know, he's like top two. So as soon as he chose me, I knew that we were going to be okay. So I was really confident.
All right. Did you think about like, all right, I'm going to be in this thing. It's got character bans. Maybe I should start picking up just like a secondary, like really focus some time into learning an additional character? Or were you just like, all right, I already know a couple of other characters. If they ban Rashid, they ban Rashid, and like hopefully my team carries me.
Well, you see, that's the whole reason why so many people were complaining about the character bans. It's not just easy to say, oh shoot, I'm in a competition where my character can get banned, so I have to train. You know, like characters, some characters take years and years, you know, to perfect. You know, it's not as easy as just saying I'm going to learn a new character and mm-hmm. I'm going to... Because you can do that, but there's no way that you're going to be able to beat people who have been playing their characters for these past 3 years, you know? So I didn't really... I practiced to a point where I said, okay, I'm just going to practice the fundamental aspect of a character and just try to apply from what I see in matches from other top players. But... there was no way within the small time gap that I had from winning the qualifier to the beginning of Street Fighter League where I can actually train a character to be at a high level. So what I did instead is just that I trained more of my Rashid and made sure that my Rashid was ready if my Rashid wasn't banned. So yeah, you know, like that's the main reason why people were complaining about the character bans. It's because it's not just easy to learn a new character. It takes a long, long time. There are some people who can do it, but those people have been playing fighting games for decades or, you know, so many years to the point where they understand characters differently than other people. You know, me, I am very new to fighting games, so I have no idea how to approach learning a new character. So I trained most of Rashid and then a little bit of Birdie, just watch some matches and just try to apply it when I played, you know. It didn't go very well this past week, but I mean it's okay because we still got the W, so.
I mean, yeah, but like everybody's birdie hasn't been looking that great. So like you just continued the Street Fighter League trend of like mediocre secondary birdies. But I mean, like, so personally, do you now that you've been on the other side of the ban, are you what is your opinion on bans? Do you kind of wish that they weren't a part of the Street Fighter League, or do you see value in them even if like it's not something that works well for you?
I honestly think that if there were no bans, the tournament would have been pretty boring. Maybe not for the spectators. Maybe the spectators wanted to watch everyone play at the highest level. But for us who were there, I feel like the bans was something that brought a fun aspect to it. You know, it wasn't just hardcore competition because there were moments where, you know, Idom is going to pick his birdie and his birdie is, you know, very subpar. So it, you know, it would make for fun times. We would laugh. And then especially if like, who was it? I think it was Toy. It was Toy versus just wait, no. I have no idea. Somebody, no, it wasn't Toy. Somebody picked like a secondary character and actually did. Who was it?
Was it
I'm
up
not
to
sure.
snuff
It could
playing
have
his
actually.
Akuma versus Punch?
Oh, wait. Yeah. It was actually when Up to Snuff almost beat Punk with Akuma. You
Yeah.
know, like people were like extremely surprised at that. You know, like. His Nacali has been making so much noise, you know, out here in the West Coast, and he's been so strong lately. And so no one knew that if you ban his Nacali, you know, which is why Punk banned his Nacali, obviously, because he knew that his Nacali is really strong. So when he picked Akuma and almost beat Punk, you know, it was Punk's Colleen, right? But his Colleen is world class, you know. Punk's Colleen is just as good as everyone else's character. So the fact that he almost got him. Was it Colleen or was it Cammy? I feel like it was Colleen, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
But it doesn't matter who Punk picks, you know. Whatever, whatever character he picks, a world class character, you know. So, the fact that he almost got him, it got all of us really scared. The people that were watching were laughing, you know, like the other players that were watching. They wanted Punk to lose, obviously. And it was, you know, it made for some fun time. So I think that without the ban, it would have been just very one dimensional, and I don't think it would have been as fun. You know, the whole point of it isn't just for competition, because that's why we have the Capcom Pro Tour. You know, they wanted to bring a they wanted to throw a monkey wrench in what we already know. And I think because it's a team tournament, it's okay. You know, if it was like a 1v1, that
Ooh,
would have
no, I
been
would
really
not be a fan
weird.
of that.
Yeah, exactly. So because it's a team tournament, because you have teammates that you can rely on, I feel like it's okay. I don't think it was a problem.
Okay. You know, we're heading into week five, right? Yeah, week five. Is there a team that you think people are sort of like sleeping on? Like, you know, obviously, like, I think everyone agrees that like the top two teams are Team Gale, Knuckle Deuce team, and your team with Punk, Team Inferno. But do you think that there's a team that you think once they hit their rhythm, like they could, you know, go for that number one spot?
Well, there are two teams actually. I think okay, so first let me start off with I think that Nephew's team is a team that's really strong.
Oh God,
You
everyone keeps
know,
saying that team.
he got really lucky because he got to pick six and then first when it came to the next round. So he got to pick two people in a row, you know, and he got very strong players. You know, they're not as strong as like the captains, of course, but they're still strong and just as strong as everyone else who's not a captain. So I think that Nephew's team is really well-rounded, and he didn't get stuck with anyone that he didn't want because he chose them, you know, and he got to choose them twice basically. But so I think the items, t I mean, sorry, Nephew's team is really good, but the real sleepers I think are teams like Idom's team and Toy's team. So I think that, you know, obviously Toy is going to get banned because everyone thinks that Toy is the strongest in his team. So they're going to instead, you know, they're going to ban Toy, obviously, and that leaves it up to El Chakotay and Justakid. And I think that those two are just really strong in general. And any one of them can OCB any given team, you know. So I think that that team is really strong. But I think that Idom's team is actually the real sleeper. I know that Idom is going to continue to get banned, right? And he has been getting banned. And I think that that means that Samurai Zakuma can get comfortable with, you know, just having to play, you know, or having an OCV like him in Classical, right? But I think that Samurai is a little stronger than Classical. So Samurai is going to be the one who Idom is going to rely on. And what's going to happen is that Samurai is going to continue playing, you know, just Akuma, and he's just going to be really comfortable against everyone. And I think that he can possibly just carry the team on his back because he's such a strong player. You know, I actually think that Samurai is just as strong as the captains. So I think Idom's team is a very heavy sleeper. You know, everyone was laughing at Idom and making fun of him because, you know, they thought he was done. Nobody wanted to be on his team. Trust me, the energy during the draft phase when Idom was picking, it was like, you know, you can hear the crickets outside because no one wanted to be picked by Idom. But I think that because he got Samurai, I think that he actually made possibly the best choice. You know, I think Samurai is such a strong player, and I think that he can actually carry the team by himself. And then he has Classical to help him, you know, whenever he needs him.
I think that sort of answers sort of my next question, which was, you know, removing yourself from the equation, who do you think is the strongest non-captain? And I think it's sounding like you're saying
It's Samurai. It's in my opinion, it's definitely Samurai. And after that, I would say, I mean, well, if we're talking about the people who are getting banned, you know, like if we're including the people who are getting their characters banned, you know, like just in general of how strong you are, I think that Idom is I think that's a no-brainer. Idom is just, you know, he doesn't travel much, but when Idom plays, it's the scariest thing in the world, you know, no matter who is playing against him. So I think that Idom is actually the strongest there out of the non. Wait, actually, no, Idom is a captain. What the hell am I?
I was gonna let you touch yourself.
Sorry. But yeah, Idom is the captain, so it has to be Samurai. Yeah, obviously Samurai.
All right. So you know, we're talking about you brought up that, you know, Idom's one of the scariest people in the world. Who is somebody that, like, when you're looking at pools, or even like you get out of pools and you're like, yes, I made it into top 64 or top 32. Who is someone that you like look and you're like, why do I have to play this guy? Why me? Like, why? Like, who's your roadblock?
I think that I can't really think of anyone. I mean, the only person that I can think of would be like Punk. Mm-hmm. Because I hate playing against them, you know. In order to play against them, you have to prepare yourself, like, mentally. And because if you know, and you play Punk so differently to the point where you're just going to get ran over, you know. So at a tournament, he's, like, the worst person to play. So I think it would only be him. After that, maybe it would be, like, any Geef player, you know. Any Geef player that's in my pool, yeah, I just get so scared. I hate that character so much, you know. And even though the character gets mauled in neutral, you know, like, he's so easy to anti, he has a very floaty jump. You know, like, as soon as he gets a meter and as soon as he gets V-trigger, it's a whole different game. So it's definitely Geef.
Okay. Now, I like starting beef, and I made Shine do this last week, so it's your turn. Which is there a character? Is there anybody that you see? And I don't want you to be weak about this. Is there anybody that you see where you're like, all right, I don't have to. This person, I can just go next. I can just worry about the next person after him.
Well, do you mean like in Street Fighter League or in a tournament?
In the tournament, like in a tournament setting, you like see this person coming up in your path to victory, and you're like, all right, free. And don't give me this everybody's a strong competitor, so nobody's free nonsense.
It would be well, I mean, I don't have a specific person, but in my opinion, it would be any Dawson player. You know, if I run into a Dawson player,
So you're saying I can tell Commander Jesse that you think he's easy.
Yeah, if he's gonna pick Dawson, then yes. If he's gonna, yeah, his calling is pretty strong, and he's been practicing calling for a while. So if I know he's gonna pick calling, which he probably is, because Dawson is such a bad matchup. I mean, Rashid is such a bad matchup for Dawson. But if it's any Dawson player, yeah, I am very confident that I'm gonna end up winning. I have never seen myself be afraid of a Dawson player at all.
All right. Now, we're going to start wrapping this up, but I know from previous times that especially from talking to Chelsea, that like when you guys go to a tournament, you guys like try to do something dope in that city, you know, especially when you're out, so that like, you know, you get to enjoy the traveling that you do. Is there a city that you've been to that you think is like S tier for doing stuff? Can't be New York, can't be where you're living in California. But like, is there a city that you're like, oh man, I can't wait to go to this event, because at least if I like O2, like I get to do blank.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. Whenever I traveled to so many tournaments before I actually met Chelsea, and not once that I ever went sightseeing, or did I ever go sightseeing, or you know, just visiting around the area in general, Chelsea is actually the one who got me into that. And I think it's very important for players to do that when they go to tournaments. You know, I know that the competition is first. Sorry to go off like track, but
yeah, no,
I know that the competition is first, you know, but I think that what we're doing is not something that we're going to be doing forever or can do forever. So I think that we should enjoy it while we can. I mean, we are going to tour, especially those people that are sponsored, you know, like you guys should actually be, maybe get there a day early if you can, you know, go sightseeing, go enjoy your, you know, your human life more than, you know, it's not all about the competition all the time. Sometimes you, because the years pass by so fast when you play competitive fighting games, because you're always out, you're always traveling, and before you know it, 3 years, 4 years have passed, you know? So I think it's very important to visit. So basically what I'm trying to say is that I haven't really gotten too much experience with sightseeing in certain cities, but I think that my absolute favorite place would have to be Seattle. I think that Seattle is one of the most, I mean, it reminded me a lot of New York. So, you know, you told me not to talk about New York, but yeah, it reminded me a lot of New York. And because I like cities, you know, I like where there are a lot of buildings and a lot of stores and places to go. So yeah, I mean, I went up on the Space Needle in Seattle, and I went like visiting around the area. I went to the Pike Place Market, and those places are so beautiful. And and I think like maybe a close second, maybe it's maybe like Atlanta is a really cool place too. Atlanta has that Ponce Market,
yeah,
which is like really nice for visitors and tourists. And I mean, I haven't really gone to many places, to be honest. I mean, I've gone to many places, but I haven't really traveled and like really got the states that I'm in or the places that I'm in as much. So, but that's in the country, you know. I haven't really been out of the country yet. I mean, I went to Mexico, and Mexico was beautiful, and the food there was delicious, and there were so many things to do there. But again, I didn't really go around much when I went to Mexico. So,
all right. So we're at the end of the interview, which is a sad time for me, because I have to stop talking to you. But is there anybody?
I was having fun.
Yeah, no, I love doing this. The reason I love doing this show is like I love fighting games, and it gives me an excuse to talk to dope FGC people. But is there anybody that you want to shout out? Any sponsors you got to tag? You know, it's the time to show.
I mean, shout out Denial, of course. You know, they're the ones who are making everything possible for me this year. So, shout outs to everyone who's watching, of course. Thanks, guys. I know I have a monotone voice. I don't really express many emotions, but thanks for watching. And just shout out to everyone trying to do their thing, you know, playing video games. And like I said, if you travel a lot, make sure you go sightseeing and make sure you visit the area that you're in. You know, don't just go for the tournament, which is fun in itself, but, you know, I think we should make it worth it.
All right. And remember, guys, to check out JB's Twitter, TryHardJB. I think you stream sometimes, right?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, everything is on my Twitter. So,
okay. So if you hit up the Twitter, reach out to me. If you see the Twitter, then you'll find all the stuff. For me, make sure to tune in every week. We're going to have a new guest next week, I believe. Yeah, next week is Logan Sama. So, you know.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about the EU FTC scene and talk about Winners Stay On. And make sure, you know, if you guys like the show and you want to see me do more of the show, make sure to hit up that Patreon, you know, subscribe to that, because Twitch doesn't pay out as frequently for a small streamer. So Patreon is the better way to support the show. And until next time, remember to go beyond plus ultra and peace.
Bye, guys.